My name is Dennis Sheeran.
And this is Raymond Steinmetz.
And we are from the Instant Relevance Podcast. We are proud members of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you are listening to right now. Make sure you check out all of the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready, because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Steve here. Welcome back. And today I'm talking about a little bit of classroom management. That's right. Did you ever know a colleague who liked to think that there was some magic behind shh and, oh, class, please be quiet. It's time to get quiet. Class, please be quiet. Well, have you? Today I'm talking about shh doesn't work. And I'm giving you some thoughts about how to deal with whatever that off task or that situation is that's going on in your classroom now. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
All right, so today I'm going to talk about shh. And guys, ladies, please, everybody, time to get quiet. Hey, time to get quiet. Shh. Have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard these? Well, I got to tell you something. If you're counting on these for good classroom management, you're going to have some issues. Yep, you are. And I've seen them. I've seen them happen in many different ways. You know, typically what's going on when you start hearing this, when you start hearing the shh or the pleading going on in a class, is that the teacher is not dealing with whatever the issue is. So I can give you any number of scenarios, but let's just talk about one, for example. Like, you know, I'm a fly on the wall. The kids are forgetting that I'm there. and this is one of the things that I've seen. Kids are coming in from outside. The teacher's talking to kids there at the beginning of class. You know, class hasn't started yet. The teacher is a 10th grade teacher, and they're distracted by the teacher's distracted by the kids who are asking questions. And the bell rings, and some of the kids are in their seats, and some of them aren't. And the teacher starts calling roll, and it's a little late in the school year. It's already into beginning of September and middle of September, and we're still calling roll. And basically, she can't hear herself calling roll, so she starts, "Hey guys, I'm trying to call roll up here. We need to shh. Hey, hello, I'm trying to." This has all the makings of total failure happening. I kid you not. And I saw it. And I've seen this many different times, played out in many different ways. The use of the shh or the pleading, hey guys, I need your attention. We need to pay attention now. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. Well, why do people make this part of their plan? I think it's because they have no plan. Because they think that they can just do it, that classroom management comes easy, they don't have to worry about it, and all they have to do is give them that good old shh, or hello, hey guys, look up here, I need your attention now, guys. So, why is it that we fall back on something like this? Well, I think it's simply because the individual who's doing it doesn't have a plan. They don't have anything that they've really thought out to try and help them manage the behaviors of the kids in the classroom. So let's talk first about why shushing and pleading doesn't work, all right? And let's just get kind of that scenario going here, because, you know, think about it in class. You have some talking starting to happen. The class is supposed to be beginning. You just fill in the blank with whatever noises you want, because that's what the kids are doing right now. And the teacher is ready to start class and is standing over to the side and saying things like, all right, now it's time to pay attention. Hello. Shh. All right. Shh. Shh. Or maybe there's any number of different techniques to the shushing model. And, you know, just like there's any number of techniques to the pleading model, like, all right, everybody, okay, come on, guys, let's go, please, let's go, time to get quiet, yes. You know, all of which are not going to work. And basically, it's not working. And the reasons why it's not working is because there is no plan. So basically, let's talk about this for just a second, because here are three main reasons why shushing and pleading don't work. Number one reason why pleading and shushing don't work. Number one, it can't be me. That's right. The kid's looking going, and that's if you even got their attention long enough to look at you. They're going, there's no way you're talking to me because it's not me. It's him. It's her. It's them. It's not me. I'm just little old sweetheart over here, and there's no way you're talking about me nor talking to me. Because you didn't say my name, therefore there's no way it could be me. Yep, there is no way it could be me. And this is basically one of the major reasons why shushing and pleading doesn't work. It can't be me. It's not specific enough. There's no way you are talking to me because you did not say my name. You did not come over to me. You did not say anything specifically to me. Therefore, it is not me. And, you're going to have a whole classroom full of it's not me. That's right. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. It must be them. Wow. And that's the major reason why pleading and shushing doesn't work, because it's not specific enough. Yeah. So the second reason why it doesn't work is that there's no teeth, there's no bite, it's just bark. That's right. There's no reason for me to follow your shush and be quiet, because you've not shown me that you're going to follow it up with anything else. Yeah. There's some kids who that's all they're waiting for, is they're just waiting to see if you actually follow through, or is it going to be nothing of anything except a bunch of noise and a bunch of pleading and a bunch of, oh, please, class, oh, please, class, or shush, 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 shush. Just like that. Shush, 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 shush. Yeah, that doesn't work. Remember, my number one reason why it doesn't work is because it's not specific enough. You have to identify the kids who you want to be quiet. You have to say their name. You have to actually talk with them. You know, and number two, it has no bite. It's just, and no teeth. It's just bark. You know, and it actually just becomes another sound being made in the room, because I know you're not going to follow it up with anything specific. You're not going to tell me that there's trouble coming or anything like this. You're not going to come to me and say, I need to stop, and now I'm going to get in touch with your parent, because no, what's happening here is that there's nothing specific happening. It has no bite. It has no teeth. It's just all bark. It's just another sound being made in the classroom. So if my first reason why shushing and pleading doesn't work is it can't be me, the second one is no teeth, no bite, just bark, and the third one is it really ignores the issues. Yes, it does, because that's what's happening here, is that the teacher's not really addressing whatever that issue is, and that's the important part, because if you don't address the issue, you're not going to have any success. And the reason why is because the kids know that you're just not going to do anything about it. So it gets back to number two, which is there's no bite, there's just bark. And number one, which is not specific enough. See how these fit together? These are the three reasons why none of this works, pleading and just shushing or making some sort of noise to get them quiet. You know, look up here, and you got your finger in the air or something like that. No, it doesn't work because it has some temporary impact, only because they're kind of like deer caught in a headlight. What? What? And then it slowly starts again and builds and builds and builds until it drives you nuts again, which is part of the problem. So my three reasons why shh doesn't work and pleading doesn't work are, number one, it can't be me. Number two, it has no teeth, no bite, just bark. And number three, it ignores the real issue. So let's flip that around and look at what you should do. All right, so if you really want to get better at dealing with some of these off-task behaviors that are taking place in your classroom, you got to get away from the shushing and the pleading, because we all know that shh has some magical quality, right? Yeah, not. And we all know that please, 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 please let me have your attention is really going to work. Yeah, not. So here are my three thoughts for what you should do instead of shushing and pleading. So number one is you need to go to the individual person. You need to go to them and you need to address what they were doing and you need to say it to them. Now, you got to be careful here because you don't want to announce it across the room. You don't want to say, hey, Steve, yes, if I'm on one side of the room, Steve's on the other side of the room, or even if I'm real close to him, you don't want to say, Steve, stop doing that. And the reason why you don't is because all you're doing is going to make things worse because now you're bringing all kinds of attention to Steve. And Steve has the opportunity now to just act out, do whatever Steve wants, can take complete control of your class because you put him in that spot. That's correct. So instead, you need to go to the individual and you need to go over to them and you need to kind of take a knee, kneel down next to them, get down at eye level, and you need to have a conversation with them and you need to basically say, Steve, you've been talking during this time and I need you to stop. See? That's what you need to say. And basically use a tone like that and use a very calm, soft voice, basically telling them you are the one who is doing it and you need to stop doing that. Yeah. So one, you need to be specific. You know, you got to stop this not doing that. You've got to be specific and you got to go to that individual person and you've got to make them understand that you want their attention. All right. So with that being said, let's go ahead, because some of you are out there going, but Steve, wait a second, you're forgetting about the kid who's going to say, what? I wasn't doing anything. You just choose one. Just make sure that you're not, you know, choosing somebody innocent because they won't argue with you. You know, if they're all in a group together, you know that they're all off task. So just take a chance at it and choose one specific, go to that one, and when they argue with you, say, sorry, there's no arguing about this. You were talking when you shouldn't be talking. And you have that conversation with them at their desk. Kneel down so you can look at them eye to eye or sit down on your heels, however you need to do it, or just take this little, you know, just squat next to her desk. The point is that you're having a specific talk with a specific student. All right. So the number one thing that you need to do instead of shushing is you need to go to a person, an individual kid, and you need to address their behavior. And if they say, I wasn't doing it, you can't falter. You know they were doing it. Keep in mind, you went to them. Make sure it is somebody who you know was doing something they shouldn't be doing so that you can be right in your stance. And you say, yeah, you were. So there's no argument about it. Now we need to have a discussion. And this is a part of the interaction that you got to make sure that you are dealing with, because if you try and blow it off, if you let the kid change your mind, oh yeah, I guess you're right. Well, you should be quiet anyway. Don't do that. Make up your mind. Choose one of the kids. Go to them individually and address it. No yelling required. No getting frustrated. No turning red in the face. Whatever. No. You choose one of them and you say, let's have a talk. All right. So to go along with that now, let me just share this with you, because you have to get good at this. And the way you get good at it is you just make sure that you're paying attention to the kids in the class. Because if the kids see that you look like you're paying attention, they most probably going to think you're paying attention enough where you could choose that individual student out instead of accusing you, you know, because you were sitting behind a computer doing whatever you were doing over there. And then you try and, you know, look over the top of the computer and go, Steve, stop doing that. Well, yeah, there's probably a 95% chance that you had no clue what Steve was really doing, right? And I'm going to take my chances and flip that coin and go ahead and try and see if I can convince you that you really didn't see what you thought you saw or heard or whatever. Yeah, this is the way things work. You know, I got to tell you, this is the way things work. So you got to stick to your guns. Well, the only way you can really do that is that you do have to pay attention to them. You know, I can remember monitoring lunch lines, yes. Have you ever had to do that fun? That's a lot of fun because kids think that there's no reason for a line. It's just for them to get in front of other kids. It's just in their way. Therefore, that's, you know, the common people can stand in line, but I'm not part of the common crowd. I'm going to go to the front of this line. Yeah, we have places like Disney World and all kinds of entertainment places to thank for that because you can just buy your way to the front of a line. But I digress. So anyway, where I'm going with this is that, you know, You just have to, at lunchtime, doing lunch duty, standing at line, monitoring the lunch line, you're taking a look out there and you're watching the kids, because what will happen is kids save places, kids will claim that they were already in line, they'll say, oh, I'm just going up to talk with my friend, oh, no, you just look at them and say, go to the end of the line, no skipping allowed, and the kid may look at you and go, what? And you've come up next to them, you say, no, you were skipping, go on back to line. You just choose them. It's amazing how powerful that is, because, you know, it's funny, usually the kid you choose are, you know, is completely guilty. And you'll see that look in their face. Ooh, got caught. Whether you really saw them or not, doesn't matter. The point is, you choose one. So getting back to my thoughts here, you know, just go to that individual person. Choose one, right? Choose one. But don't choose the one who just won't argue with you. You got to deal with the situation that's happening where it is in the classroom. So the first thing you got to do is go to the person, the individual, and choose one of them and address it with them. The second thing you got to do is follow your rules and consequences. And this is one of the things I want to make sure that I say is that if you have rules in your classroom, well, they're meant to be followed. And if you have rules, then there need to be consequences. And we're really not going to talk about all of that today, but one of the rules that you've got to have is about being respectful. Yeah, kids understand what be respectful means. And if you say be respectful, well, if you're talking when I'm talking, or if you're talking when I try and get you to stop talking, then all of that is disrespect. And so there's no need to keep multiple warnings and stuff like this. If you start off from the beginning explaining to them your rules and then explaining to them what the possible consequences are, that is a warning. And then from there on out, you just have to enforce it. So if my number one thought about how to deal with classroom management without using shh and please is go to the individual person, well, the second one is follow your own rules and consequences. Make sure that the kids know what your rules and consequences are and follow up with enforcing them. Yeah. I mean, if you talk, and by the way, part of doing this means that if you talk to a student about something, make sure that you write it down. You want to keep a journal, because what you want to do is you want to be able to write it down. Remember who you talked to, during what class, at what time. Write all that information down, what you had to say to them, what they were doing that wasn't right. Because the next thing you're going to do is you're going to call home. Remember what I told you? When you first tell them about your rules and consequences, that is their warning. There is no need for multiple warnings, because you're just going to lose track of them. So the next time that you have, you know, when you talk with them, you've already given them their warning. So when you talk with them because they're disrupting your class, because they're not listening, because they're not paying attention, when you talk with them, you immediately make sure that one of your consequences is that you call somebody who is responsible for them. You call home. You call that aunt and uncle, that mother, that father, that grandparent, whoever it is. You call them and you let them know about the conversation you had to have today with Steve. Yeah. This is how you start giving bite to your bark, all right? So keep that in mind. Now, anytime you want to make sure, I want to go back to this, because you want to make sure that you get yourself a journal, because you want to keep track of these conversations. Anytime I have a conversation with a kid, I want to write down that conversation, when it happened, why it took place, and what I did. And part of that conversation, part of what I write down in that journal about that conversation should also be that I'm going to make contact with the family, the parent, whoever they stay with, whoever they live with, wherever they are, reside. And I'm going to make sure that I try and get in touch with that person or persons to make sure they know that I had to have a talk with Steve today. So then my number three thought about this is don't ignore the real issue. You know, if the kids are being disrespectful, if they're not working, if they're having issues with other children, if there's arguments going on, if they're doing other work but not doing your work, all of this is disrespectful. All of these are real issues. Issues that if you ignore them, they don't get better. They don't go away. They don't find, you know, they don't have just some sudden new home. No. They're going to fester inside your classroom, because other kids are going to go, well, if she can get away with it, I can get away with it. Surely I can not have to do my work because she's not having to do her work. Surely I don't have to stop talking because she's not having to stop talking. You get what my point is? Yeah. You're ignoring real issues, because there may even be more problems than them just not talking. I mean, them talking out of turn, or them talking while you're talking. It may be that what's also happening is that there's a potential fight going to happen, or there's these arguments that are between, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend that are going on. They're just going to become more and more disruptive, or going to turn into something when they go out in the hallway in the break between classes. There's any number of things that you could be ignoring if you don't deal with the issue. So let's kind of recap what I talked about today, because one of the things that we're, my focus for today is classroom management doesn't work. And it's not just about it's about the pleading also. You have to become a classroom manager. Now, that's not a disciplinarian. That's someone who manages behaviors, who works at getting the kids to do what needs to be done through different techniques. Well, an appropriate technique is not shh nor pleading. Please, class, it's time to be quiet, please. No. So the reason why shh and the pleading doesn't work is because, number one, it can't be me. Number two, there's no teeth, no bite. It's just bark. Number three, it ignores the real issue. So what you need to do are the following three things. Number one, go to the person, go to the individual, choose that person and go to them. Kneel down next to them, sit on your heels, whatever it is. Look them in the face so that you're eye to eye level. You don't want to stare them down. That's not the point. And by the way, do not make them look you in the eye. All right. But you're right there at their eye level. You're not staring down at them. And you want to have a conversation. All right. And the conversation goes something like this. Hey, Steve, you're not paying attention. I need you to pay attention. All right. So how about let's focus on this? I'll talk with you a little bit more later. And that's all you need to say. And then you need to follow up with them later. All right. Because one of the things you're going to do if you're following the story that I told you is you're going to make sure that you call Steve's parents, right? Because you had to talk with Steve. You've already given the warning. Don't need a whole slew of warnings that you've lost track of. You just simply need to remind them that you hit the warning is when I go over it in the beginning. And so the first time I talk with you, we're going to call the parent and follow up on it. Right. So, one of the things that you've just got to keep in mind about classroom management is that you've got to deal with the real issues. And if you don't do that, they're just going to fester. They're going to get worse. Things are not going to get better just because you shushed them or because you pleaded. So once again, what you want to do to deal with classroom behavior, misbehavior, is you want to go to the individual, the person who's not doing what they're supposed to be, and address it with them. You don't want to call them out. You want to go to them. You want to kneel down and have a conversation that only the two of you can hear. The second thing you want to do is you want to make sure you follow your rules and consequences. You got to have rules and consequences. You want to be able to, when you talk to the student, you want to make sure the student understands that by my talking with you, I'm going to make sure that I call home also, because you need to understand that that is part of my consequences. The next big part of that also is simply this, that I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it in my journal that I talked with you. This is what you did. This is the time of day. This is when it was. And then also that I'm going to, I'm going to expect that I call your parent. So you want to follow your rules and consequences. They got to know them in order for you to follow them. You've got to enforce them. And you've also got to go to the individual person. The last part of it is don't ignore the real issues. Being disrespectful, not working, issues with other children, arguments, doing other work. There's all kinds of stuff that could be going on in that scenario. Therefore, you've got to deal with it, because it could be something that blows up in the hallway. It could be something that blows up in your room. It could be something that blows up in the cafeteria, whatever. All right. The point is that you cannot ignore it. So please keep in mind that shh and please, class, pleading does not work. Instead, you've got to be very specific. Go to the individual, follow your rules, make sure there are consequences, and don't ignore the real issues. Food for thought. Thanks for listening. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is excited to be a member of Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right here. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends.